Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
What is the secret of happiness? That's the question that we're really looking at today. What does it mean to be content? Some of you know, when I became a father, a dear friend came to me and gave me a quote that I've read many times since in books and seen on the internet in different places. I can't find out who actually said it originally, but it goes like this. No one ever said on their deathbed, "I wish I'd spent more time at the office." The truth is, that friend who shared that with me had looked into my very soul and saw fear. Like I said, some of you know that as a young man, my sole aim was to earn more money for fear of not having money. My early adult life was framed around that, and indeed many of my decisions later on in life still framed around that, for the fear of not having enough money. You know, I was the provider for my family. But of course, the reality is my ever-growing greed for more money to provide a better house, a better car, a better holiday was not what they needed. Thankfully, the leaving home for 12 hours a day and the concentration on providing more money was interrupted by that dear friend and God himself. I was able to turn it around in good enough time to not impact my family any more than I already had. Nevertheless, before that conversation, if you'd asked me what would make me called more content, I probably would have said something along the lines of, well, another 30,000 should do it. I wonder then what it is that you think makes you happy or you content. Is it the same as me? Was it money? Maybe good health for your family? What would make you happy? Perhaps a good indication of what you believe would make you happy is where you spend your time and your money. Where, given the choice, where would you spend your time? What is it for you? It's not an inconsiderable question for those of us who want to be disciples of Jesus, who want to apprentice to Jesus. Contentment is a serious question to ask ourselves as we come to the end of this Discipleship Explored series and the book of Philippians. The author, Paul, focuses in on contentment. He says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation," as we heard read. "Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Why does Paul bring it to this crescendo? Why does the book of Philippians come to this point where they want to talk to us about being happy and content? Well, of course, I'd urge you to go and watch the discussion videos that parallel this series on the internet on our website. But before we go back and delve a bit more into Philippians, let me tell you about a conversation I was having this week with some friends. We were talking about relationships, not the sort of intimate wife-husband relationships or even parent-child relationships, but, you know, the general relationships, you know, friends, colleagues, church family, even siblings. We were talking about these relationships and how they can break down, that how often they are broken and how difficult they are to repair, how often it takes one person to be gracious and submissive and perhaps provide forgiveness even where it's not deserved. Although, of course, that does ring a bell with us, doesn't it? So. And as we chatted, we noticed one thing about how the cause of breaking of relationships. Often it seems to be around the idea of jealousy, of a perceived happiness or success in the other person. Whether that's real or not. A perception of that, we see that's where relationships can break down, or at least that's one reason where relationships can break down. And in fact, we've seen that in our gospel today. Teacher, tell my brothers to divide the inheritance with me. Teacher, I know it's our society norm, but my older brother gets all the money. That's not fair. He's happy now. He's set up for life. That's not fair. Tell him to give me some. Of course, that man, or that young man, never got what he wanted from Jesus. He got quite an interesting response. He got warned that he was being greedy. He actually got warned that he was looking for contentment in the wrong place, didn't he? And then Jesus tells a parable, a story of a man who has so much that he has to build bigger barns to hold all his wealth, and how that is taken away from him overnight. You can't help but see a parallel with what's going on for some people in the last year, can you? When we place our contentment on such things. Jesus says, though, to them and to him, don't worry about it. Do not chase things that others tell you will make you happy, but seek God. Seek Jesus. You will find contentment there. So as we know, Jesus is always the answer. We know that. It's always going to be the answer at the end of the day, isn't it? But there's more nuance here than simply that. In my discussion with my friends about relationships, we spotted one link, one result of broken relationships. A lack of contentment, or discontentment, if you will, leads to disunity. When you worry and focus on what others tell you will make you happy, and then you start worrying about what someone else has more than you, it leads to a lack of unity. And then I did go back to Philippians, and I was surprised to see something in that last chapter, chapter 4. You see, in chapter 4, Paul is talking in verses 4 to 20 about rejoicing in Jesus, which we heard about last week, and then being content in Christ as well, which was our subject for this week. But did you notice something else about the structure? It's bookended with one thing. The first few verses, 1 to 3, Paul is talking to some church leaders. In fact, it says Paul is pleading. The great Paul, the great teacher, the great church maker, is pleading with a couple of church leaders to be unified. Even in their difference, to have unity. You go back and read verses 1 to 3, you'll see that. And then at the other end, as he comes in to finish, he talks about how we should be gracious to one another, doesn't he? He says this, he says, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings. Unity, unity, unity. Especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Even those who have me chained up right now, he says, who know Jesus, you should be unified with. It's interesting that Paul has chosen to bookend this message with that. Greet all God's people the same. Paul's secret to happiness is in contentment, is to do with unity. It's to do with being content with where God has placed you, yes. It's to do with being content with what God has given you, yes. But ultimately, if we delve deeper, it's about unity with his church, unity with his community. Paul's secret to happiness is unity. Now it comes to the tough bit, doesn't it? How does that impact us tomorrow morning? What are you chasing? What's happiness for you? Is it like it was for me? It may not be. It may not be about money, but it may be about something else. Or is it about unity? I want to say to you that if there are broken relationships in your world, it won't matter how much health you have. It won't matter that you're fully healthy. If you want possessions, it won't matter how many possessions you have. If you have broken relationships in your life, you're going to find it incredibly difficult to find peace and contentment. I think that's what Paul's message is to us. See, we chase adverts from Facebook or adverts from magazines or on the television assuming that what they're selling us in terms of happiness is true, but actually it's about unity. Now, I'm not suggesting that all relationships can be repaired. That's the consequence of sin sometimes, isn't it? Not all relationships can be. But what I am saying is I believe that if you do your bit, God will bring you peace and contentment. I believe healing will come. Or as Paul puts it, you can do all this through him who gives you strength. You can seek unity through him who gives you strength. That's an often misquoted line, isn't it? It's not a line that says you are superhuman, you can do anything you want. That's not what it's saying. It's a promise that says when we find our contentment in Christ, we will have the strength to see that through. When we love people in unity with the Holy Spirit and those he created, we will be at peace and contented. And can you imagine what that would do to your life if you were able to be in that place? This is the life to the full that Christ talks about, isn't it? How your well-being would be so up there, wouldn't it? Up there with the Spirit, that your well-being would be there. Can you imagine a church who was at peace with itself and others? Can you imagine what God would use that for? If we could build relationships rather than break them down, if we could unify, can you imagine how God would use his people here in Bedhampton, in London? The growth of God's people in Bedhampton would explode. But more so than that, the Holy Spirit in your life, the impact of the Holy Spirit in your life would explode. There would be an explosion of that. The contentment in your life and the peace beyond all understanding would fall upon you. Now that is the secret of happiness. That is, and it's within your grasp. The secret of happiness is within your grasp if only you would step up. And you, of course, can do all this. You can do all of this through him who gives you strength.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.